Our gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 36. Hear now God's word. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now, which of them would love him more? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith through this ancient creed, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This woman in the gospel reading, who was forgiven much, loved so much and was so grateful, so thankful that it seemed unseemly to those around. And I have observed the opposite to be true as well. People who hold on to hurts tend to hurt others much as well as themselves. A man was bitten by a mad dog, and he didn't get treatment in time, and so it wasn't working. The treatment for rabies wasn't working. The doctor told him to go ahead. He better just get ready and prepare his last will and testament. And so the man began to write. And he began to write, and he began to write, and he began to write. And the doctor said, "That certainly is a lengthy will that you're making out." And the man looked up angrily and he said, "Will, nothing. I'm writing down a list of people I want to bite." Not all bites are intentional. Sometimes we hurt each other without meaning to, without knowing. As a child, I was mildly interested in foreign stamps and old stamps, and I still have my book that I started when I was 9 or 10 years old in my office. I was interested, but I really didn't know much about the hobby. And all I'd ever seen were individual stamps pasted into the book, and you'd find the picture they were supposed to go, and you pasted them right there, and that's what I did. Well, one day, in a very unusual move, my father brought me a whole sheet of stamps, and I had no idea that a whole sheet of stamps was more valuable than individual stamps. I just didn't have any idea. All I'd ever seen were individuals, so I tore them apart. And my father became very, very angry. And I didn't know why. Because I did not understand the value of the gift. Forgiveness is a gift from God. And I think we must first be betrayed, be hurt, be wronged, be put down, be cast out, be left angry before we know just how valuable and how costly a gift of forgiveness is. And that's not a problem, because soon enough in all of our lives those things happen to us, and soon enough we all come to learn how costly it is to forgive. I saw some old friends this past week, and I was speaking to a young woman. Well, no, she's my age, a woman. And I surreptitiously picked her brain for this very sermon. You have to be careful when you talk to preachers, because they are always working on a sermon and you might be in it. And I asked her, how would you feel if you knew that every misdeed, every angry word, every wasted expenditure, every haughty judgment of others, all the harm you'd caused others or yourself, all the guilt was absolutely and completely forgiven? And she sighed, and she said, I would feel wonderful. We are all sinners. God loves us anyway and forgives our sins. We say it, we sing it, but quite a few simply do not believe it in their heart of hearts. God in Christ made peace by the blood of His cross. The seriousness of sin and the reality of death and the love of God are shown on that cross all at once. But apparently we simply don't know the value of that gift. We don't sing like a weight has been lifted from us. We don't pray and we don't praise like God has given us an unfathomable gift. From where I stand, I can see the first 3 or 4 rows. We don't look like we feel all that wonderful. And I do know, as I said at the 828 service, that you say, Jim, you're one to talk. You hardly ever smile. I have documented proof. I smiled last Thursday. The purpose of the church is wrapped up in this message. God so loved the world that God gave His only begotten Son to show us just how much He loves us, how far God will stoop to give us love, forgiveness, and grace, and an eternal embrace that we might be with Him forever. And if loved, then forgiven, and if forgiven, then reconciled. And that means we can have peace. We can have peace as a gift from God in our souls. Do we? And if not, why not? We can never be at peace with our neighbors, our family, until we get that peace first from God. That wonderful feeling of being, knowing, accepting that you are forgiven completely. And when we possess for ourselves the wonder of God's forgiveness, it does not end there. It begins there. For the wonderful work of the forgiven is to forgive. To forgive others. To forgive is to acknowledge that only love can overcome the evil that divides and alienates us one from another and one from our true selves. To forgive is to acknowledge that only love can heal our wounded relationships. To forgive is to acknowledge that only love can clear away the debris that gathers from our pasts. It's a wonderful thing to be able to forgive. It is a heavy weight to carry around old hurts and old guilt as if they were precious things
But we do carry those heavy weights. And we open and we look and we keep these things and we bring them out not to feel wonderful, but to feel that hurt and to feel that guilt all over again. And I wonder why. What harm we do by not accepting as true that God has forgiven us and given us permission and reason to feel wonderful. Hear once more to your very core. When we possess for ourselves the wonder of God's forgiveness, it does not end there. It begins there. For the wonderful work of the forgiven is to forgive. We all remember another famous story of a similar woman from here mentioned in Luke and the Gospel of John. The woman caught in the very act of adultery. She was caught. She was guilty. She was humiliated, standing in the middle of a circle of self-righteous men with rocks in their hands. She was afraid. She was distressed. She may have been angry because her partner in the act she was caught in was let go. Though our sins may be different, we are all sinners nonetheless. And so I'm going to ask you to identify with her standing before Jesus in that situation and hear to your utter astonishment, hear Him say, "Receive your life back again. The page is wiped clean. You are forgiven. You can go now. Your life has been given back to you." This is the central experience of Christian faith. The power of the cross, which makes forgiveness possible, is the mystery and the majesty of the love of God. Christianity is not simply another moral teaching. It is an experience of standing guilty and condemned, and then by the power of God's grace, through the cross of Christ, receiving our lives back again. In today's reading, she who was forgiven much, loved much. And it seemed so unseemly to everyone around. In fact, it's kind of difficult to read. But to Jesus, I think it brought a smile of recognition that she recognized exactly how wonderful the gospel is, how wonderful it feels to have that weight lifted and to be able to cast away the hurt and the guilt and start over this time with the power of forgiveness for you and for others. There's a story of an artist who was going around his section of a city and he was looking for characters he wanted to paint, and he found a beggar on the street, and he told the man that if you come up to my studio tomorrow, that I would love to paint your portrait and I'll pay you. And so the next day the beggar appeared at the artist's studio door. And when the artist opened the door and saw him, he saw him dressed up, wearing a neatly pressed suit, a clean shirt, polished shoes, a tie. He had taken a bath, shaved off his whiskers, brushed his hair, brushed his teeth. And when the artist saw him, he was angry. He sent him away. He said, "That's not who you are. That's not who you are. That's not who I wanted to paint." We are here today, very presentable, very respectable. We have on our antiperspirant. We have used toothpaste and mouthwash and hair stuff and makeup, and we're all cleaned up and we look good. But God sees our hearts and knows that's not who we are. It would be a lot more appropriate if we came looking like beggars, because that is who we are on the deepest level before God. What we need is forgiveness, and nothing we can do, no matter how we scrub, we can't earn it. We know how much we've hurt ourselves and others by the things we've done or failed to do. We know how we've taken advantage of other people, manipulated other people, tried to control the lives of other people. We know that there are people in the real world who are dead today because we did not share of our excess resources. We know there are people who have been lonely for a long time, and we haven't been there to see them, and we could have been there, and we are the ones they're waiting for. We know there are people who have rejected Jesus as Lord of their lives because of the way we professed Christian faith, but didn't really live it in their midst. We know there's so much that brings us into the circle of the guilty for which we are deserving of condemnation. That is why, if we are honest about it, we come here to accept, as humble beggars, the wonderful gift of forgiveness. I speak of sin only to raise up in our estimation what a wonderful gift forgiveness is and that opportunity of new life we have through Christ. Those who really know, as this woman in the gospel did, how much they needed forgiveness are the ones who rejoice in the name of Jesus and sing boldly the hymns and smile when they pray and forgive others, really forgive others, because they have the spiritual reserve of the Holy Spirit to empower them to do so. It is a wonderful thing. And too often, even lifelong church members miss the wonder of God's grace and complete forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Too often, even church members are trying to earn it and earn it and earn it and buy it. It's a gift. Forgiveness is a miracle of grace on the receiving end and on the giving end. On our own, we can't get it, and on our own, we won't give it. The poet John Greenleaf Whittier wrote a great poem that ends with this line: "Heaven's gate is not open to him who comes alone. Save another soul, and thou shalt save thine own." The forgiveness we have is given to share. The love that we have is given to share. The faith that we have is meant to be reflected in our lives for others. Now, we've heard a saying, we've heard this saying, all of us have, to hate the sin but love the sinner. Hate the sin but love the sinner. Some of us say it as a cliche, don't really believe it. And I'm doing a C.S. Lewis study on Wednesday nights. It's not too late to get in on that. C.S. Lewis says this about that saying. He says, "For a long time I used to think that this is a silly distinction. How can you hate what a man does and not hate the man? But years later, it occurred to me that there was one man to whom I had been doing this all my life, namely, myself. However much I might dislike my own cowardice or conceit or greed, I went on loving myself. There had never been the slightest difficulty about it. In fact, the very reason why I hated my sins is that I loved the man. Because I loved myself, I was sorry to find that I was the sort of man who did those bad things." Now, it probably seems strange to some of you that on my Father's Day sermon, I'm speaking all about forgiveness. It does not seem strange to me. And I've been here, this is the beginning of my fourth year. And after you know me a while, and as one of my members told me last week, it takes a long time to get used to you, Jim. I think I hear an amen. I begin to share a little more of myself. And forgiveness and Father's Day are tied together in this way for me. I cannot recall a single word of encouragement from my father growing up. I cannot recall a single hug as a child. A single pat on the back, a time of helping with homework, or reading a story, or building a project. Not one. Do I love my father? Yes. And not a qualified yes, not just because God said I had to love my father. It's a yes, I simply do. Because I have come to understand how he got to be the way many men of his generation are. He was good at work as a doctor. He was consumed with work. His emotions were pretty much shut down. Boys don't cry, in his generation, believe that. Men don't hug, in his generation, learn that. He is the way he was taught to be. Would he like to have been different? Of course. And would I have enjoyed a more involved and more emotionally available father? Of course. But I had what I had, and I have what I have. I love him not for what he might have been, but for what he is, faults and all. Because that is the way I have come to understand God loves me. You see, forgiveness is not just something that we need, comes to us and stops with us, it is to be passed on and to be seen in the bigger scheme. I can forgive other people's faults because I have come to understand that that is the way God loves and forgives me. And that, brothers and sisters in Christ, is the most honest and the most helpful Father's Day message I can give. Amen.